15 Afghan children were accidentally killed over the past week in two separate attacks by American troops. U.S. military officials say they're taking all possible precautions to protect civilians in both Afghanistan and Iraq. But a report published today by Human Rights Watch says the Pentagon's use of cluster munitions in Iraq has led to the death or wounding of more than 1,000 civilians. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports.
Human Rights Watch gives the Pentagon credit for limiting civilian casualties during the Iraq invasion. Planners carefully avoided placing fire on mosques, schools, and historic sites, and U.S. rules of engagement, which were largely followed, dictated that a target had to be positively identified as military before firing on it. But the rights organization's new study charges that the U.S. Army's use of cluster munitions, ordnance that contains hundreds of smaller explosives or bomblets, killed or injured more than 1,000 civilians during the height of the war, and likely more since. Director Kenneth Ross notes that the main long-range artillery used by the Army during the invasion was the Multiple Launch Rocket System, or MLRS, which is equipped to fire only cluster munitions.
Each MLRS rocket fires 644 so-called grenades or cluster munitions. And typically there would be a volley of six rockets fired at a time. So you have nearly 4,000 highly explosive submunitions landing in an area of approximately 0.6 miles in radius. Believe me, you do not want to be in that area.
For the report, the group sent a team to 10 Iraqi cities. They talked to survivors, victims' families, Iraqi doctors, coalition military officials, and others. While the Army strikes were aimed at legitimate military targets, Ross says the artillery was often launched toward heavily populated areas. Take the March 31st MLRS attack on Iraqi forces in Hilla. The group documented 33 civilians killed and 109 seriously injured in that one strike.
In fact, the medical personnel in the Hilla Hospital told us that of the casualties, both dead and injured during the war, 90% of them were caused by the use of cluster munitions in populated areas. So this was a major, major problem that was replicated in Baghdad, Basra, Karbala, Najaf, and Hilla.
By the Pentagon's own estimate, 16% of the cluster munitions bomblets did not explode on impact. These duds have turned some Iraqi backyards and farms into minefields that continue to maim Iraqis. The tiny bomblets look a little like toys, leaving children particularly vulnerable. Criticism of cluster munitions is hardly new. The U.S. widely used air-delivered cluster bombs in the Vietnam War. And a Human Rights Watch study of the U.S.-led NATO bombing campaign in Yugoslavia in the late 90s determined that a quarter of the civilians killed in that air war were slain by cluster bombs. While the Air Force has seemed to listen to critics, Ross says, the Army has not.
The U.S. Air Force, to its credit, internalized that lesson and radically reduced its reliance on cluster bombs from Yugoslavia to Afghanistan and again from Afghanistan to Iraq. Unfortunately, the Army didn't learn the lesson that the Air Force had internalized.
Indeed, the rights group study shows that the Marines in Iraq seemed more willing to call in close air support in lieu of using cluster ordnance. And when the Air Force and Navy deploy such bombs, they now use smart cluster bomblets that deactivate quickly if they don't explode on impact. The Army, however, still uses old cluster munitions with high dud rates. U.S. ground forces won't get improved cluster artillery until 2006. Meantime, Major Pete Mitchell with the U.S. Central Command says careful targeting made the Iraq invasion one of the more humane conflicts in modern warfare.
Coalition forces comported themselves with incredible professionalism, and I think the speed and the precision of this war and the way this war was conducted saved countless lives on both sides.
As for cluster munitions, Major Mitchell says they were used in Iraq against valid targets and only when it was deemed a military necessity.
If we could avoid using them, we did. When we had to absolutely use them, we did. If it meant saving American lives to employ these things, we employed them. But we used every bit of restraint that we possibly could to minimize loss of life and collateral damage.
It's still not clear how many Iraqi civilians were killed in the war. Estimates range from 4,000 to 10,000. Human Rights Watch's Roth says determining the exact number is less important than getting the U.S. military to adopt different methods next time.
They have to be able to fire back at incoming artillery or incoming mortars without relying on this spraying of these highly explosive submunitions over a populated area. That's just not a way to fight a war.
Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Washington.